Welcome to another session of Teaching Others Also. This morning, we're going to continue our look at this thing of healing for the wounded. And our subject matter is that supernatural substitution provides a supernatural healing. Who needs to be healed? Well, the broken, the bruised, the wounded. And the truth is, if you live life on earth, you need healing from time to time. Now, you may not seek it, and you may not get it, but it will affect some part of your life. Our opening text in the first session was that the Lord Jesus Christ said when he was in the synagogue, it's recorded in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he hath anointed me to preach a gospel to the poor, he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And we took some time to look at this idea of broken and bruised and wounded, and we noticed the passage that the Lord Jesus Christ was quoting. It was a prophetic passage out of the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, chapter 61. Where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." You know, good tidings is like when you go to the doctor and you know there's something wrong, or at the very least you suspect there's something wrong, and there is something wrong, and the good news is that there's some hope, there's some course of treatment. And so he said, "He hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." We are aware that the rest of that passage says, "In the day of vengeance of our God," there's 2,000 years at that comma in your King James Bible. You say, what is this thing about set at liberty them that are captives? You know, following up on our previous thoughts, no benefit or even real reason to go through the whole other time, but we are all captive of certain things if we cannot get true healing and true restoration of them, liberty from them. Supernatural means beyond the natural, above the natural. We would say, for example, supernatural is above the laws of nature. You know, when you're a little kid, and they've perpetuated it from my day. I recently turned 62 years old, so I've been around a little bit. And from my day of Superman, they've kept all these things. It's gone full cycle, and everybody wants superheroes again. Superman was someone who was looked like a man but had beyond natural abilities. And I want you to write a verse down or remember a verse and memorize it and practice it. It's Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Mark it, "which passeth all understanding." It's supernatural peace. It's not a peace that you get, and you can get some peace through meditation. You can. You can get some peace through breaking down thoughts and dividing them out, and you can get some peace through fixation on certain positive things. You can do that. No one said you can't. Sometimes Christians, sometimes people who are in the Bible and preachers and teachers, they'll tell you there is no peace. Well, there is. It's just not supernatural peace. Now, I want to talk to you about supernatural healing. My phone gets blown up, and for every email address I unsubscribe, or whatever you want to call it, for every time I unsubscribe, it seems like they send three different others from three different sources of the same thing. It's crazy, and no matter what blocker you use, they sneak through somehow. Everything's supernatural. Everything's going to help you lose weight in a given period of time. And everything's going to help you be stronger as you get older. And everything's going to help your brain to grow and all that kind of stuff. supernatural, beyond the natural, beyond what we've experienced. We closed last time talking about substitution provides healing. We're going to the next step now. We're going to talk about supernatural substitution provides supernatural healing. Now, if we've had physical injuries, we still need to do the things that we can possibly do. I fell off a building years ago while working. It was over two stories tall, and I fell off this building, and I was injured severely. They told me I would never even walk without a cane again to support me. And by the grace of God, but also by hard work, both, I was able to go through life for the next, 35, 40 years, working, walking, traveling the world, exercising, playing rugby and cricket and golf and softball and basketball and all those things. There were some telltale signs. There was some pain involved. There was great pain involved in the rehab. So I prayed for rehabilitation, and then, of course, I did my part. So we do our rehab, and we do our the things it takes to heal, but there's a part of us that needs supernatural healing, beyond the natural. Now, the Lord God of the Bible is the highest of everything. And if you were to draw a picture of the universe, and without having to be an artist or anything, on a piece of paper, on a 3x5 card, at the very top, write God, the Lord God. Write God. In fact, if you want to follow this through in 1 Corinthians, write God, and then Christ, and then man, and the woman, and the children. This is the level of God's authority and accountability. God's at the top. The Lord God of the Bible is the highest. Now, when it comes to creatures like us, okay, creatures that think, creatures that are human, we'll say, or that resemble the Father in heaven, God the Father, we're the lowest. Write down a couple references. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, and it's giving us insight. It's quoting the book of Psalms, okay, but it's referring to our Lord Jesus Christ to let us understand what he did for us. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. And we're not going to go into a long argument about Jehovah's Witness and all that he was made. No, he wasn't created. He was made, as in put in a position of a little lower than the angels. How could that be? It's easy. It was for the suffering of death. He was crowned with glory and honor that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Okay, where does it start? It starts in verse 7 of Hebrews 2. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor. Who's he talking about originally? In verse 6 of Hebrews, it's man. What is man, verse 6 of Hebrews 2, that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Okay, why is this so important? This is important because if we drew a line, it would say God. And in God is the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And then there is the spirit world. They're called sons of God with a small s in the book of Job. They're called angels. There's another being called angels who always appear. Their appearance is of a man, but we know they're not humans. They're not man like we are. We're made a little lower than them. They can travel through the universe. We're bound to the earth. And if you wanted to mark it down in your Bible, you would mark Psalm 8, verses 3 down to verse 9. Okay? He says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. You see, this was an offense to Lucifer. You say, what is all this? I promise you, if you have been wounded, we've mentioned already PTSD and things like that, this is not going to work for a person who denies God or isn't, interested in God's part of your healing, okay? It's not. But it might be that if you got hold of these truths, you'd realize it's God you need. It's not me you need. God might use me as a vessel here to help get it across, which he is. But it's God. I'm pointing you to God. See, God made man after the fall of Lucifer, and God said, I'm going to give him glory and honor even though he's stuck on earth. Have you noticed we can't even get out of the atmosphere without some help? You can't go up to 30,000 feet without some help. When these fellows are making halo jumps and insertion jumps, they got to have oxygen to get down to where they were meant to be originally. If you go down in the water past how long you can hold your breath, you got to take your environment with you. We are made to live on planet Earth, on the surface of it. You can't even climb some mountains without great difficulty. They're so high, the oxygen. It's just the way God made the place. It says in Proverbs 8 that he rejoiceth in the habitable part of the earth. There are parts of the world that are breathtaking, but they're not habitable. And there's something about mankind that drives them to want to inhabit the inhabitable, to prove it can be done. Now, I said all that to say this. The Lord God of the Bible is the highest. We are the lowest. We're not related to the creatures and to the animals on the earth. We're not related to any of them. You say, well, there's some similarity. You know who did that? God did that to test your faith. God did that to test you to see if you would suddenly make a god or an idol or a relative out of an animal that had some of the characteristics you have. I mean, there's got to be some similarities because it's life. So the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, he was made a little lower than the angels. That is, he took on the form of a human body for our sake. He went lower than the angels for us. You see, mankind was created with great, great capabilities. In the book of Genesis, chapter 11, now picture this, in the history of time, this is early in the history of mankind. And by the way, from the time Adam left the garden to the time of Jesus Christ is about 4,000 years of recorded history that God's given us supernaturally. You're not going to find it recorded in a typical library, museum, or school. But it's right there. You can just read it in sixth grade English in the King James Bible. So now watch. Tune in here a little bit. They're going along through life and they get to Genesis 11 and everybody who was on the face of the earth, which was hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people having multiplied with long lives of 600 and 700 years, okay? They all had one language. So they could share their knowledge, their imagination fully. And the Lord God said, nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do in Genesis 11. So he said, if mankind can put their heads together, I have so made them after my image and in my likeness after my image that they can do a lot even though they have the sin nature in them. So we have vast capabilities, but they're nothing compared to God. And really, some of it's nothing compared to the other beings, the angels and the sons of God. Now watch, God uses the natural, for example, hearing and sight and sound and senses, and then he uses words to communicate and teach the supernatural. A child can know very, very little till they can learn words. And you could take a child, for example, and you could walk them outside and you could point to a tree, what we call a tree, and you could teach them from an early age that that thing is represented by the sound horse. You put your hand on the tree and you say, horse, horse, Johnny, horse. And you walk over to the horse and you say, tree, Johnny, tree. And that image, that picture in that child's mind would be represented by the word horse, the tree would, and by the word tree, the horse would. That's how important having the right words it can be. That's a wild idea, isn't it? The Lord created with words. He spoke it. He created everything. It says it's held together by the words of his power. That's a wild idea, I know, but it's the truth. So now, faith is a natural thing with ties to the supernatural. You're exercising faith every single day of your life. Very few of you go out 2 hours early to start your car and make sure the battery will work. You're exercising faith. You possibly right now are sitting in a chair or sat in a chair in the next last little bit today, and you didn't ask yourself, will this chair hold me? In fact, you're very surprised if you sit in a chair that doesn't hold you. Many of you, with the sound of my voice, ride in planes. I've flown hundreds of thousands of miles sitting in a plane. Man, you talk about faith. I'm trusting the mechanic. I'm trusting the plane. I'm trusting the pilot, the co-pilot, trusting the radar, trusting the communication. It's faith. You ever walk across a bridge? I've been in isolated mountainous parts of the earth where you had a little footbridge that someone had made, a rope bridge, and you walk across it. While you're trusting your payday to come through, to either be direct deposited or hand you a check, and you're trusting, you go down to the bank and do that, you're trusting that the cash that you folded up in your pocket is not counterfeit. It's faith. You say, no, it's not faith, it's fact. Oh, really? How do you think people feel that end up with a pocket full of counterfeit money that they didn't intend to have, and now they don't have any money? Faith can let you down. Faith can lift you up. And sometimes it's according to the objects of your faith. Proverbs 25:19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble, ready, is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. And that verse has always hit me hard because I've had both. I've had a foot out of joint, dislocated each shoulder through the years. Like I said, I just turned 62, so I've been around a little bit. And I've definitely had a couple of broken teeth. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. You can't count on it. You can't put any pressure on it. When you do, it lets you down. And so faith can let you down if you put your faith in the wrong thing. See, some people have said, well, I'll put my faith in God as long as. Well, that's not putting your faith in God. Putting your faith in God. I recently read a book by a fellow who's well known, and it's a very interesting book called Unscripted, Life of Ernie Johnson Jr. And partway through his life, he adopted a phrase, trust God, period. Trust him, period. And they went through some stuff in their lives. It can't be conditional. Faith can let you down according to what your object of your faith is. Now, for example, 1 Timothy 6:20 says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. Not all knowledge is false. And by the way, the word science in the English, go look up in your thesaurus, is knowledge. There is some that's not really knowledge, it's speculation. Listen, there are many premises of science that are merely opposition to God's word on purpose. So trusting a vain, false thing will let you down. Let me give you an example. We're talking about healing, guys, girls. We're talking about getting healing. Healing of your mind. Healing of your emotions. Healing of the hurts. Healing of your memories. And I want to say this. I readily recommend a fellow's work called David Seamans. S-E-A-M-A-N-D-S. David Seamans. And he was originally, at least part of his life, out of Kentucky. He was from a missionary family, and he was a missionary, but God gave him great insight. He wrote some books. One of them was The Healing of Damaged Emotions. Good book. Now, some of these books he wrote are more helpful to someone who's going to help others. But I would strongly suggest that you don't just read a couple chapters, go out and try to experiment on people. But he had healing of memories. He had healing of a broken heart. Healing of your dreams when things go wrong. And the point is this: trusting in something that's false or vain is going to let you down. Now, if all you have, let's say you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, and you've heard some of these words. If all you have is that, all you have is the natural realm, and you need to go for it. And I don't demean that, and I trust none of you will demean that. You can pray for people. You can try to help them. You can even pity them, because, listen, you can have the spiritual, supernatural realm via natural means. For example, we're using natural means. I got ink on paper here. I've got a printed Bible in front of me. I'm using technology to record this. And so building on session one on substitution for the broken and the bruised and the wounded, we've talked about the Lord Jesus Christ being that for the world. It can be personal. That personal relationship with Christ is just the start. When a person takes the Lord Jesus Christ and claims Him as their Savior, it's the start. And you're trusting the person of Christ, not just His work, to save a person from hell. There are times when we trust the work. In John 14, He said, trust my words. If not, He said, just trust what I've done. And so sometimes we see in people's lives things that He's done and we trust it. And so once it's received, the key is believing and receiving His words, which puts us into touch with His substitutionary work. It's like the medicine or the supplement in a capsule. The capsule carries it. You put it in your mouth, it goes into your body, and it processes. Words are that way. And many of you have seen out in society, those of us here in the States, what they call service dogs, and they serve a great purpose. You know, when people go, oh, that's ridiculous and all that, they don't know their Bible. And I'm talking about Christians here. Because the deeper truth is what that animal shows, what it reflects, what it represents. And you don't want to discount what God uses. God will use many things that He set up in His book. And yet, okay, now hear me, the real healing for super wounds, now watch. What's a super wound? It's something that's beyond natural. You need the supernatural applied to super wounds. I can remember one time I have cut myself with a knife. Not as in sat down and cut myself in the use of a knife. And you spray a little, squeeze a little stuff in it, wrap it up, and you're fine. Duct tape works awesome. For some reason, it helps the wound heal. But then there's super wounds. I remember one time I was in a vehicle accident and they had to take me to the hospital and sew my knee up and put it back together. I can remember having some other things happen and they had to use beyond just normal healing. You say, what is supernatural healing? Is it weird? Is it spooky? Is it exclusive? No, it's mysterious in this way. Only God understands all of it. But look, I've done a lot with electricity through the years, and nobody can ever actually explain it. They've proven that the sounds of the ocean help people heal mentally. They've proven that the ions released, they've demonstrated, they don't know how it's done, they can't make it do. The ions released as those waves roll to the shores. Why? For years and years and years, when someone had certain kind of illnesses, they would send them to the seashore and it would help heal them up. It's proven that friendships, that light, that air, that the good sounds, that all kind of things help us. It's proven. For example, you need, whenever possible, the prayers of others. I mean, even one can help. You say, well, I don't know anybody that's praying for me. I know this. You can rest assured that Jesus Christ makes intercession for you. So you've got at least one praying for you. And I want to talk a little bit in this session about the elements of healing for the wounded. Now let me say this, I've got multiple notes on things such as, for example, PTSD, because it's so prevalent in the culture that we live in here in the States with people who've been through military service. Some from law enforcement, some from accidents. I'm going to throw something out that might not fit the exact culture that you've been exposed to or the exact education, but it's been borne out by years and years of study and counseling with others and helping others. And that is that there are many things that have the effects and the trauma of PTSD that are things that happen in our society. For example, there's one that happens, and they say approximately 50% of the cases of marriages, and that is divorce. Divorce can inflict upon someone a post-traumatic stress disorder. I think you probably, in a matter of seconds, if not minutes, could think of someone that when you think about it, they're exhibiting the effects that would be similar to PTSD. Quirks, habits, attitudes, and they'll take them all through their life, and it will bind them and hinder them all through their life if they don't get some help with it. It's kind of an illusion that people in high-profile occupations are just fine when they go through one, and there's many a time they haven't been fine. They've just been able to hide it while they were in their profile occupation. What is all that about? That's not putting the world down. That's saying that there are some elements of the healing for the wounded, and they need supernatural help. They're natural elements, but they've been on a super level, above natural level. Let me just throw out some words. These are not exhaustive words. I've got hundreds of different words we could use from many different angles that they use in counseling, in psychology, in the medical fields. But I'm going to put them down into layman's terms for us. My hope is that somebody who has some deep wounds will listen and follow through on this. It's not a pill. It's not going to happen like that. It's not a boom, going to shock you and that's it. But there's great healing and continual healing. When you talk about the elements of healing for a wounded person, one of the first things that comes to your mind are the symptoms. Symptoms let you know there's something going on. Some things are symptoms that go unnoticed. They even go disconnected. There are cycles of the severity of the symptoms. Sometimes they're more severe, sometimes less severe. You know, there's a lot going on in a person's life. For example, there are people who have the symptoms of PTSD, but in their limited understanding because of being wounded, what's happening to them seems logical or reasonable to the sufferer. In fact, it can even be, well, here's what I've learned. And yet that lesson can be something that was learned, okay, not as much to teach us, but it was suffered. And in our coping, our dealing with it, we actually develop a very destructive, detrimental, at the very least, a hindrance to our healing. And I think it's important for us to realize that. In everyday terms, the idea is this. If we're not careful, we think that those symptoms are things that we have acquired, lessons we have learned, and those symptoms often are attitudes and even cycles of severity. I'll give you an example. Secondly, not just symptoms. I'm going to run through these because I'm going to ask you in your own life first, even if you want to help people in your own life to do this biblically. Go through these words and jot some stuff down. Symptoms. You say, well, how would I look at symptoms? I'll tell you what you do. For example, read the book of Proverbs one chapter a day for 3 months. For example, whatever the date is. For example, today's the 18th of June. So I read Proverbs 18 this morning. Read whatever the date is. Read that chapter of Proverbs. Just do it for 3 months. Most of us do it year round, but do it for 3 months. Chapter a day, whatever the date is. If you miss a day, fine. If you miss tomorrow, the 19th, go to the 20th on the 20th. As you read it, you begin to realize God sets forth some things that are reality. What's best, what's right, what's healthy attitudes, okay? If you get a chance, read through a few of the parts in Paul's epistles that for a New Testament Christian, for example, Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 5 and Romans 12 and Romans 14, things like that. Read your Bible. And when you find contradictions to what you're experiencing, either emotionally or mentally, attitudes, things you feel like you've learned, you know, I heard one fellow say, don't get mad, get even. And the other guy said, well, I don't get mad, I don't get even, I get ahead, okay? You know, we say we've learned some things. I was reading through the Psalms the other day, and David said, I learned this and this, and then he said, but when I went to the house of God, I realized I was just talking as a fool. He said, I was just talking as a hurt, wounded person. And I'm not going to that passage right now for the sake of time. Symptoms. Do you have any symptoms that really, you know, well, this isn't healthy or this isn't helpful, and this doesn't match the thoughts or attitudes or feelings that the book says are healthy? All right, secondly, symptoms is one word, history is another. Remember, there was in our Lord's ministry, it would say this man was in this condition 38 years. This woman had this illness 12 years. This fellow was blind from a child. In our Lord Jesus Christ ministry, we find him at John 4 at the well. He was wearied. He was tired. History is something that really tells us a lot. Physical history. For example, accidents. Isn't it funny that some things that seem normal, for example, if a fellow was a bull rider, it's just a fact of life that he's going to have a series of injuries that you're not going to have if you're an accountant and you pretty much, you know, work in the yard every weekend. Those are traumas, okay? I was recently reading of a bull rider, and he was at the top of his game, and he was recovering quickly from injuries and stuff, and then he went through a very, very terrible divorce. Not terrible as in the other person, the wife was a bad woman, just terrible as in it broke his heart. You see, he's carrying something inside of him. You say, well, maybe it will he can channel it to ride that bull. Yeah, but that's not going to help him as a person. History. I'm going to throw in a few thoughts here that I've got kind of written on the side here about events. Just give you an idea, okay? Events affect people differently. Events affect people differently. Events appear to affect people differently. But events always have an influence. They always do. See, not all sin, not all wrongdoing, not all harm that's inflicted upon you can be explained away. Cain did not kill Abel because he had PTSD. Cain killed Abel out of pride. Religious pride. That is the first murder. Perhaps you don't know. I mean, there was a time in my life I was already had decent education and everything. I didn't even know the story of Noah. I'd never been to church, never been anywhere, a grown person. Cain and Abel were the first two boys recorded in history from Adam and Eve, their mom and dad. And Cain killed Abel out of pride because Abel's offering of blood to God was accepted and Cain's offering of his personal works was not accepted. And so we dare not explain away behavior. However, there are PTSD type and injury type and wounded type things that are found in the Bible. It doesn't explain it away, but it's important to know where it comes from. All right, so events always imprint upon us. They may not always happen to us. They might happen in front of us. They might happen to someone special. Sometimes we cope by blocking it out or blacking it out. We don't even know that. Sometimes it's like it creates a gap on the video of life. Sometimes we do it by blaming. Sometimes we do it by getting bitter. Sometimes we do it by taking up a cause. I recently marked the completion of 62 years. Well, way back when, in 1987, when I was down under in Australia, which their time is ahead of ours here, on my birthday in 1987, when I was 32 years old, turned 32, I got a phone call telling me my mother had passed away at 54. They thought she was doing better. They thought she was had turned the corner, was healing up from an accident. So it's impossible for the two not to be associated. Her birthday was June 7th, only 9 days different before mine. It's impossible for it not to be there. But the kind of hurt that it could inflict upon me is not there because of the supernatural healing of God. We can come to conclusions. For example, in Psalm 116:11, David said, all men are liars. And then he went back and said, you know, I said in my haste, all men are liars. So history. History is important. Physical injuries can affect us. The recuperation cycle can affect us. but mainly the history of things in our life. All right. Thirdly, overall health. Now, listen, there's physical health, there's mental health, there's psychological health, there's spiritual health, there's financial health, there's relationship health. There's healed parts in our lives. There's hardy parts in our lives, parts that we're just able to take more than other people without it wounding us deeply or anything. Now, be careful. A man, a woman who gets by on pride is not victorious. Somewhere that thing's going to backfire. Okay? So this part of our lesson, this second lesson, then we're talking about these elements as we sum it up. Symptoms, history, overall health. You know what would be in? And then let me throw the fourth one in here so that you can think about it. And then that's stimuli or stimulus. Now there's other words we use. There's triggers, for example. There's cause and effect. I am amazed at Christians who have hardly any compassion for people who have certain stimuli and triggers in their life. And they go, well, it doesn't make me want to do that. No. Your stimuli was self-righteousness right there. Pure old-fashioned pharisaical self-righteousness. But there are stimuli and triggers and cause and effect. Like I said, birthdays, death days, marriage days, divorce days, accident days. There are smells, there are sounds, there are phrases. There are, sometimes it can be the weather. The weather can affect us or trigger something. Stimuli, a stimulus. Something that stimulates a memory. It can even affect your body also. Sometimes when your body is going through something, it can affect you. And you see, the thing that I'm saying to you is that these are biblical things, and we're going to talk about them. And I'm not rushing through it because it's kind of like this. You take the first lesson. Now there's our second one. Process some of it. Get a piece of paper. Get your legal pad or a little notebook or something. And keep it to yourself. Let God work healing in your life. And then if it's His will, He'll use you to heal others. Symptoms. History. Overall health. Stimuli. Okay? Triggers. Cause and effect. Now look, it can be your diet sometimes. I mean, look, a person who has diabetes and doesn't deal with their sugar intake and blood sugar and type of food, it will affect them, won't it? A person who habitually does not get the sleep they need, it's going to affect them. For years, they've said, and they just published it again in trying to get everybody, that for at least 1 hour before you want to fall asleep, you should turn that phone off and you should turn that screen off and let your brain unwind, because that blue light on that screen, you don't even realize it's blue, is stimulating your brain and making it difficult to sleep well. People are using things like, you know, infusing oils and stuff like that to help, and that's fine. Okay? You know what other people do? They use alcohol. But there's side effects to that. There's hangover effects to it. Your diet, your sleep, it can be things, you know, beverages, food. It can be, listen, there can be so many things that are stimuli. Now, here's the problem. You know, what is the big, one of the big things people talk about is being OCD. And then someone makes a big joke out and says, no, it can't be OCD. That's not an alphabetical order. It's got to be CDO. Ha, ha, ha. You know what OCD is most of the time? Not all the time now. Listen, let me say this to you. There are things such as autism. It's a very real thing. Asperger's, autism, there's different ones. They're very real things. And as a Christian, we have supernatural help for it. It's not just going to, boop, disappear. But you know what a lot of OCD stuff is? It's a result of not getting healing in certain parts. At some point in a person's history, it's made them, they felt vulnerable, or they've been taken advantage of. They may have been mistreated. They may have been abused. They may have been molested, just all kind of things. And the thing that helps them keep their mind and emotions together is everything has to be in order. But it's called OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, because that order can bring disorder, okay? That's not to be put down or someone says, oh, get rid of it. No, jot it down. Okay, I tend to be compulsive about this, or I tend to be obsessive about this. this is not just mere, now hear me out. There is humanistic behavioral psychology and there's biblical psychology, because the word psychology is how your mind and soul thinks. Psuche in Greek, psychology, okay? Psyche. So I'd like for you to do this. Now later, if God wants to. Now, if I'm talking to somebody who happens to say, you know, I need some healing. If you know you need healing, and honestly, that's where it started for many of us. We knew we needed healing. And we weren't afraid to say, okay, I need healing, and someone else might not have needed healing from this, but I do. I remember this plainly. One time I was in the outback of Australia, and we were making camp just under a tree, rolled out my little bedroll, and something bit me, stung me. I assumed it was a bee or whatever, so I didn't say a word. Being the outsider, the American, they call all of us over there Yanks. Being the Yank in the outback, I decided not to say anything. And the next day, my hand was hurting severely, but I didn't say anything about it. Soaked it a little bit. Didn't let anybody know. The second day, though, I couldn't use it. So I went to the local little infirmary there in that town, and I had been stung by a scorpion and didn't realize it. And I needed to have something done to it because it could, you know, cause serious effects. See, I had an issue, and I just tried to explain it away for different reasons. A person can have something going on in their heart and mind. You might right now have something going on in your heart and mind, and you don't really say to anybody about it. And some people can't enter into it. It can be in the form of memory flashbacks. It can be in the form of stimuli, those sort. So take some time and work on this a little bit. And don't be afraid to say, Lord, I need help. Now, let me say this. I can tell you through 40 years of being around the Bible, once I got saved, and 35 years of pursuing these things in the Bible, experiencing the need for help continually, I can tell you that there is supernatural healing for supernatural wounds. You can have these wounds that are beyond normal. And they might not be too big for somebody else, but they're too big for you. You can have these. That's what he came to do. Luke 4, Isaiah 61, etc. Let's pray. Father, we pray you take these thoughts, continue them, put them all together as we try to help people have supernatural healing for supernatural wounds. I pray in Jesus' name.